This is Dan Zhang with Alternative News. Today we're going to have a good program. We're going to actually bring you highlights of a couple of events this week, this past week, and then also a speech given by Medea Benjamin at Chapman College, and followed by Subversity at 5 o'clock when we will be broadcasting Ralph Nader's talk also at the same university last Friday. So first off, we're going to bring you highlights of a march and rally against police brutality in the city of Anaheim, where activists with a group called United Neighborhoods is seeking a civilian review board for that city to monitor police activities, police practices in that city that Disneyland is in. So on Sunday, there was a small group of about 50, 60 people who marched around Pearson Park and then marched all the way to the police station in Anaheim, the police headquarters in Anaheim. And this was what we heard. Jessica Castro from the United Neighborhoods group, a local LULAC group, from an activist group there in the city of Anaheim, speaking before the Anaheim Police Department. Subversity has learned that next Tuesday at the city council meeting in Anaheim, the police will respond to allegations that they have not responded adequately to the complaints that have been filed about police brutality and harassment of especially the Latino community. So next Tuesday at 5:30 at the Anaheim City Council, we can expect a report on a response from the police department on allegations of police brutality in the city of Anaheim. Also this week, Subversity was privileged to help celebrate the 30th anniversary of Visual Communications. Visual Communications was started 30 years ago by a group of UCLA students. It's a media arts workshop, media arts center located in Little Tokyo. And on Saturday, there was a big party to celebrate 30 years of achievement. They have brought to the community many independent features, independent films, nonfiction, as well as fiction. And many celebrities in the Asian American movement also showed up, including Nancy Kwan, who is the actress in, she plays Suzy Wong in this film, The World of Suzy Wong, and back in the probably the 50s or 60s. And she actually looked younger than I did. So that was a pretty good achievement. She's also a fellow person from Hong Kong. And she was, we actually sat in the same row in the Japanese American Theater in Los Angeles. There was a performance art group that, a lot of performance art on the stage, as well as spoken word, film clips, and lots of stuff. And the group Visual Communications also put out a handbook, a little booklet, which included an article by Eddie Wong, who was one of the founders of Visual Communications back 30 years ago. And the heading of his article is From Viet Cong to Venture Capitalist. And that's referring to the letters VC. VC stood, of course, in the Vietnam War period for Viet Cong, but also at the time the Media Arts Center was formed for Visual Communication. And now they're seeking $25 million as venture capitalists to try to fund a Media Arts Center and an archive for the next millennium. So this is Visual Communications at www.vconline.org. www.vconline.org. Among the speakers at this event, this incredible event, was Marco, who is an actor, a Chinese-American actor, Japanese-American actor, I believe. And he was a actor in the movie about the forming of Hong Kong, actually, called Sand Pebbles. And he was on the stage with a bunch of people from a band called East of Zed, which is formed by an actor called John Cho, who has been in many movies recently, including Yellow, and Looking for Fangs. So we had Marco putting on his act to the accompaniment of East of Zed, which is a kind of a pop rock outfit comprising John Cho, vocals and guitar, Brian Sapp, guitar, Aaron Wilhelm, bass guitar, and JK and on drums. And this was at the event on Saturday in Little Tokyo. The Marco is actually Makoto Iwamatsu, and he was in the Sand Pebbles in 1996 that earned him a nomination in 1996 for the Best Supporting Actor for the Oscars. And he was also the star of two Visual Communication productions, Hito Hata, Raise the Banner, and Watari Dori, Birds of Passage. And on Broadway, he won a Tony Award as Best Actor in a musical for Pacific Overtures. And he and six other Asian American actors created their own theater company in 1965 called East West Players. So this is Marco talking and speaking to the accompaniment of East of Zed.
The reason that I was not hired anywhere was that people who were in the hiring position all felt and thought that I was a Chinese laborer that Robert Wise discovered when I was Taiwan.
So that's why I say I didn't get that much benefit. But I got to watch the master at work making the film good old-fashioned way. Compared to that, today's directors, I don't know, they come from commercial areas or this or that, and some of them indulge in, you know, this or that, you know, the illegal stuff. So I don't know what they're thinking about. But anyway, I bridge the gap between old and the new. Come on, get out of here. Get on stage with me. You represent the new. Now, as we head into the next century, we should invest in our future, the next generation. And they, in turn, will nurture the following generation to our...
I did it my way. opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents.
The next award-winning filmmaker is Arthur John. No offense to Arthur, but I didn't move this program along here. And anybody that I'm going to introduce you tonight, their biography is already in the program that you got. So I want you guys to take time and read that, okay? Before Arthur comes out here, though, we're going to show you a film, a short film, that was done a few years ago by Spencer Casato. And the title of the short film is Do It on the Oriental by Spencer Casato.
You're listening to a celebration of Visual Communications 30th anniversary.
So many ladies, kind and gentle. Please introduce myself. Fucking by name, interpreter by profession. Education by the ancient dictionary.
You were listening to actually clips of old kind of racist films about Asian Americans in the depicting Asian Americans as stereotypes in the history of cinema. And this was at a celebration, a look back at film and visual representation of Asians in America at a celebration of 30 years of visual communications, the Arts Collective in Little Tokyo. And next we're going to hear from Arthur Dong, who's been on this program before and was at this event talking about what happened to him recently when he went to Oklahoma. Arthur is the award-winning filmmaker, documentary filmmaker, whose films include a License to Kill about people that ended up killing gay people, and Forbidden City, USA, and Coming Out Under Fire, as well as Sewing Woman. And he has been awarded also 3 Sundance Festival, Film Festival Awards. You're listening to Alternative News here on KCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
Thank you. You know, like Michael's haircut? Cool, huh? I think it's the latest thing. As funny as now I was, it was really quite painful. I was just in Oklahoma City last Saturday doing a presentation and for the local gay community. And when I landed, I found out that the gay Asian community, they were being carded at the local gay clubs. And because of the race, and by this foundation, which was really doing great human rights work, but they didn't realize how they were really discriminating. This foundation invited me out to dinner, and they didn't know who really I was. And I started really picking their brains as to what's going on. And you know, they in front of me, they said, "Well, yeah, you know, in Oklahoma City has a large community." Yeah, all those Vietnamese people, they all belong to gangs, and we tried to get rid of that problem. And that's why we called them. And they said this with a straight face. And it was a very telling moment for me to realize how important the work that visual communications does. I mean, we here in LA, we have our problems, but it's even worse out there. And I was just shocked that they would say this in front of me as though I wouldn't care. So my presentation, just to make it short.
So there was Arthur Dong at the recent Visual Communications 30th Anniversary Celebration. You're listening to Alternative News here on KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine with your host, Dan Tsang. Coming up, Medea Benjamin speaking at Friday's Chapman University shebang that included also the Green Party presidential candidate, Ralph Nader, which we will air at 5 o'clock on Subversity following Alternative News. So coming up, we're going to hear from Medea Benjamin, who is the Green Party candidate to try to unseat Dianne Feinstein for the seat at the U.S. Senate.
The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents.
Amazing issues right here that have to be changed. And the Green Party is the party that's talking about changing those issues. So what are those issues? Well, first let me just tell you how I got green, which was traveling around the world and just seeing how distorted our economic system has become, not only in the United States, but around the world. I was trained as a nutritionist and an economist, went out to the poorest places in Africa thinking I would help people learn how to feed themselves. And what happened to me at the age of 21 was being in the poorest villages in the world and having child after child die in my arms. Die from hunger, die from measles. The first village I was in, the entire under 5 population died of measles. Now, these are preventable diseases. Nobody needs to die from measles. We have kids dying all over the world today from hunger while we have enough food in the world to make everybody obese. We have people dying from curable diseases. We have people dying from dehydration where a 5-cent dehydration salt would keep them alive. We have a system that is based on the love of money rather than the love of life. And that's why we've had such a something is terribly wrong, and we are the people that are going to change it because we have a love of life. We want to build a system where there is no hungry child on earth, and certainly there is no reason to have a fifth of our children in the United States growing up in poverty. This is the richest country ever in humankind. We are awash in money. We have people buying $40 million homes in this state, while we have people that are living in cardboard boxes. Something is wrong. We can't continue with a system like this. We have a minimum wage in this country, in the United States, that will keep you in full-time poverty as a full-time worker. Something is very wrong with that. Tell me here, is there anybody who can stand up? If you think that you could raise a family in this country on $5.75 an hour, please stand up and tell us how you do it. No volunteers in the crowd? You can't do it. $5.75 an hour is a poverty wage, even by the U.S. own standards. To lift yourself out of poverty, you need a wage at least of $8.20. We have a minimum wage that hasn't even kept adjusted to inflation. Why do we let these two political parties get in Congress and talk about whether they're going to raise the minimum wage to $6.15 in the year 2002 or the year 2003? No, that's not the right argument. $6.15 won't make it today, it won't make it in 2002, and it won't make it in 2003. We demand, as the Green Party, a minimum wage that is a living wage that lifts people out of poverty. Definition of free trade. We say, no, we don't want this. We want trade that lifts up people's standard, that breaks workers out of poverty, that lifts up the standards for the environment, for health and safety in the community, that does good for the world. And that's a very different definition, and it is called fair trade. And we are demanding a system of fair trade. We want to shut down the World Trade Organization. Strangle people around the world. That's why we need a Green Party that will promote a system of fair trade. And look at other distortions in the way we spend our money in the United States. How can we feel good about living in the state of California that spends more money building prisons than it does institutions of higher education? In this country. That is one out of every 147 people. And in the black community, it is devastating. One of every 13 black men behind bars. A war on the black community in this country, a racist system called a criminal justice system that has become big business. You build more and more prisons, and you make a lot of money building those prisons. In fact, right here in Santa Ana, we did a press conference saying, why did you take $13.4 million away from affordable housing and put it into building a $107 million jail? No, put the money back into affordable housing, put it into education, put it into things that do good for people.
Thank you.
required, that's by a third, and have a stronger, leaner, more effective military, and put that $100 million to good use by putting it into our schools, and by giving us what we deserve in this country, and most of the Western countries have, which is universal health care. Democrats and Republicans say, oh, come election time, you know those seniors vote, let's look at the issue of prescription drugs, right? And that's what they talk about now, prescription drugs, because the seniors vote. We say, don't manipulate the elections, don't manipulate the seniors, and don't manipulate the American people. Healthcare is a human right. We deserve healthcare. To make CEOs very wealthy in the HMO business and the insurance companies. The Canadians only spend 11 cents out of every dollar on administrative costs. In fact, the savings that would accrue to having a universal single-payer health system would be able to cover everybody just by cutting all of those administrative costs. So it is cheaper to have a universal healthcare system. It is more effective. You could put your time and energy into prevention instead of treatment. And the only reason we don't get it is because we have a two-party system beholden to the HMOs, beholden to the insurance companies.
Thank you.
Bush, which is a horrifying thought that Bushes get in. So yeah, let's take the very good question, get it out of the way before Rob Nader comes out, because, you know, let's clear this up first and foremost. You know, when did anybody say that when you become 18 in the United States, you now have the right to vote? But in our system, actually, we have to give you a pair of nose gloves, because when you go into the voting booth, you don't vote for who you really want. You vote for who you don't want as much as the other person. That is not the way you go to the voting booth, and you hold your head up, and you feel really good. And you say, I'm going to vote for my vision, my dreams, the person I think it most represents the way I want to see this world work. And you know what? If we all do it, that person will win. They might not win this time, they might not win the next time. One day they will win, and that's the only way we do it is we start to build it. Next time around, when people like me go to challenge people like Dianne Feinstein, I won't have to go to the people who do the polls and say, please include me, please include me. They say, we'll include you when your party gets 5% of the vote. We need to get that 5% of the vote. To get that 5% of the vote nationally, we need to get big-time votes here in California. And to get big-time votes here in California, you got to do it here in Orange County. So you got to do the right thing. You got to vote for who you believe in, what you stand for, and you really got to feel the most important thing is to get rid of this two-party duopoly. An election monitor around the world. One of the things that we do at Global Exchange is go around the world. I mentioned Namibia, South Africa, El Salvador, Mexico, Indonesia, all around the world monitoring elections. And I see people sacrificing their lives to get the right to vote. I see people sacrificing their lives to build third parties. And I see major successes that have happened. Take Mexico alone. They now have proportional representation in Mexico. You get Greens in the assembly in Mexico. The third party got $100 million in the presidential race. They have saved the administration. They have made changes that when you turn on the television during Mexico election time, you don't have to go to channel 167 at 3 o'clock in the morning to hear the third parties. You can turn on the mainstream stations at 9 o'clock at night and you see all of those parties. They have access to their airwaves and we don't. They wouldn't stand for what we are standing for today. We have to dramatically change our system because it has now become one of the most undemocratic systems. So think long term, think changing the system, think multi-party, and think how beautiful it will be 10 years from now, 15 years from now, when you see third, fourth, fifth parties represented in the Congress, where Congress is not a bunch of rich white men, that reflects the population of my
policy in the Middle East to increase some of the violence.
small that we have to recognize that Mumia never had a fair trial, that he absolutely deserves a fair trial. Talking about a racist criminal justice system, that you have a 12% of the people in this country are African American, 60% of the people on death row are African American. Something very wrong with that. Foreign policy issues. In terms of the issue around the Middle East, I think it is high time that the U.S. had a policy that recognized, one, of course we want to secure Israel, and the only way to secure Israel is to recognize the rights of the Palestinians and independent Palestinians. The rights of the Palestinians, but the rights of the Arabs who live within Israel, who have been discriminated against. Public does not want to speak about foreign policy issues, that we as the Greens think one of the worst policies happening today is the $1.3 billion being sent to Colombia under the disguise of it will lead to major, major killing of more innocent people. We do not want that money going there. We do not want to be involved in what is a civil war in Colombia, and we demand that the U.S. stop intervening there. We also call for an end to the sanctions against Iraq. There's one other thing. We have a policy of infanticide. We are killing 5,000 people every month with this policy. This is not a foreign policy. This is infanticide. We have to lift the sanctions against Iraq. And while we are lifting the sanctions against Iraq, let us lift the sanctions against Cuba. And let us also have a policy that not only pays our dues to the United Nations, but strengthens, democratizes, and uses the United Nations, an end to unilateral interventions on the part of the United States, an end to trying to be the global cop. We are in a family of nations, and we have to act like a family.
Listening to Alternative News here on KCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. That was Medea Benjamin, and they're waiting for Ralph Nader to speak, and we'll air the Ralph Nader portion of this talk at the hour, at 5 o'clock, on another show on Subversity.
As we speak, Mr. Nader is speaking to the press. You know the needs of a political campaign. We want to make sure that he's able to speak to them, but he's here, right behind this curtain. Got hurt and died. The people who built the car knew its design was flawed, and that it was the company that built the car, not the people who drove it, that was the problem. But they continued to build the car and sell the car and defend the car anyway. No, the car wasn't an Explorer. Did not have, they have had Firestone tires. It was the Corvette. And the author of the book, Unsafe at Any Speed, was a young attorney, Ralph Nader, a Princeton and Harvard Law School graduate. This will be Ralph Nader's return to Chapman University. He spoke spoke here in the 1960s, not long after that book was published, as part of Chapman's Distinguished Artists series. He will be back. As a result of this one man, cars today are far cleaner, the death rate on our nation's highway has plummeted, they're far safer than they were in the 1960s. How many lives have been spared and injuries avoided as a result of his tireless efforts on our behalf? Ralph Nader's efforts would launch the American Consumer Movement, which promotes consumer justice and public education about corporate abuses of the public trust, and also each individual's rights, not just as a consumer, but as an American citizen. Now he's turned his attention to making this a true democracy, one that belongs to the people. Ralph Nader's life has a message for all of us, but especially for future global citizens. If you really love this country, then you should roll up your sleeves and do something to make it more human and more caring. Don't be a private citizen, but a fully engaged, questioning public citizen. I can't think of a better message this year for our young people to hear than that of Ralph Nader. And ladies and gentlemen, that's right. As a matter of fact, I'm remiss because we have a special group of people here who came all the way from Laguna, from Leisure World, and let me tell you,
so that was Professor Fred Smothers from the Chapman University Political Science Department about to introduce Ralph Nader of the Green Party at this talk last Friday at Chapman University. This is Alternative News with Dan Zhang. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the regents of the University of California, nor the management of KUCI. You've been listening to Alternative News. Coming up, Subversity, when we will air the Ralph Nader portion of this forum at Chapman University.